Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. Well, today we're going to talk a lot about rest. Our story of the week and our Dean's thoughts from this week are both related to sleep and rest. I think sleep is every bit as important as the food we eat. And we'll talk about that and more in this episode. Joining me once again for those stories and more is Upward Running Director Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean. Hey, something I realized last week, last week was our five-year anniversary of the podcast. Well, did you know that that same week, last week, was also the 15-year anniversary of Run for God being formed? We started it back in January of 2010, but we actually formed the company and everything, all the legal mumbo jumbo, for lack of a better term, was in March, and it was last week particularly. So the five-year anniversary of the podcast and the 15-year anniversary of the forming of the organization fell on the same day. And of course, we're now Upward Running, but the ministry started way back in March of 2010. So I just thought that was pretty cool that the 5-year and the 15-year anniversaries fell on the same week.
So, yeah. Wow. I don't think we realized that when we started the podcast.
We didn't. I just noticed something came up somewhere. I think it was actually a reminder for the legal organization renewals and things like that that came up. So, hey, before we move on, let's talk about the Couch to Marathon.
Okay.
So, if you have any level of fitness at all, it's still not too late to get in on Couch to Marathon National Challenge of 2025. But there's some other things starting to come into focus, and I wanted just to kind of put those out here. Now, you're going to start seeing these dates on your newsletter. If you're a member of Run Club, you're going to start seeing these dates on the newsletter. But I want to go over them out loud because I want to explain what you're seeing on the newsletter. So, the Couch to Marathon started in February, but we're also doing Couch to Half Marathon, Couch to 10K, and Couch to 5K that will all graduate at the Big Beach Marathon January 25th of next year. So the things that are starting to come into focus are those other dates. So May the 19th will be the kickoff for the Couch to Half Marathon. Mm-hmm. And this will be, if you're able to already run a 5K, then you can step in right at that point. You can go from the 10K on and finish at the Big Beach Half Marathon. And then,
or if you haven't run at all, you can start over and run the half marathon at Big Beach, or you can start with the 10K and run the marathon at Big Beach.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there's the Couch to 10K start, which will be August the 11th. So to your point, if you're already running, 6 miles or so, then you can step in at that point and either do a 10K or continue on and do the marathon from the 10K start.
Yeah.
I'm confusing. I'm seeing why Holly says this is confusing.
Yeah, it is.
And then on November the 3rd will be the national kickoff of the Couch to 5K, which will graduate at the 5K at the Big Beach Marathon on January the 25th.
Yeah.
And then we also have, so let's talk about the Big Beach Marathon for just a minute. That is a full weekend. They are going to have a 5K, half marathon, and marathon for sure. I did talk to Nikki. The 10K is still, it's up in the air. They're trying to make that work.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going to be 5K, 10K, half, and full. But that is the weekend of January 24th and 25th. Of 2026.
Yes.
So if all this isn't confusing enough, but on the evening of January the 24th, Saturday evening, January 24th, is when we're going to have our annual Run Club banquet. And it's going to look and feel very much, if you've ever been to Dalton, it's going to have the same vibe to it, but it's going to be in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Yeah. We're going to be on the beach.
Oh, wow.
So you can't beat that. Yeah. And we're going to have a time where we're going to laugh together, cry together, sing together, worship together, eat together, and then we're going to run together. So it's going to be an incredible weekend. All the pieces are starting to come together, but I just wanted to start getting those dates out to everyone. Like I said, you'll see these in your newsletter, but go ahead and mark your calendar. I know it's 9 months away or 10 months away, but we know how busy everybody is. We're going to talk about that in this podcast, how busy everybody is. So get those dates on your calendar, January 24th, 25th of 2026 at in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Join us for the Big Beach Marathon and Run Club weekend.
I'm so looking
forward
to it.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I'm going to tell you, if you've never been there, you mentioned the folks that have been to the Dalton weekend. If you have never been,
you need to,
it's worth it. I'm just telling you.
And layering that on top of the Big Beach Marathon with Nikki and Mike and that whole, they're just salt of the earth people.
Yep.
Great race, great organization. So it's going to be a great weekend.
For sure. Well, our post of the week comes from Rebecca Wang. She said, Metro Parks. So today I had 14 on the training plan and decided to check out all the Secor Metro Park. I knew of a part that was 8 miles, so I just added some other. It was a challenge as we had snow yesterday and I was running on trails. But so much fun to explore. I was struggling, so started listening to the podcast and felt pushed to not ease off for just 8 miles. Glad I finished it all. Very cool. First, congratulations on finishing a run when, you know, you start to struggle. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it's like, I just feel like stopping. But you just keep going because it's what we do. We just keep going. This is a cool idea. I like the idea of going to these parks. You know, I don't know that many people know. I think there's a lot of people out there. Well, let me just say, I talk to people from Dalton that don't know about Hague Mill Lake Park and the trail that goes around that lake. Even now, it's been there for, I don't know, 5 years or so now, and people still don't know about it.
Have you been on the new part that goes under the bridge?
I have.
I haven't been on that part.
Yes, I have. And yeah, it's great and it's nice. And here's my point is that wherever you live, if you don't really pay attention to that stuff, there may be places for you to run out there that you don't even know about. And it's worth the time to check your local parks and recreation or just check out, look for trails in your area.
Well, another one is, and there's one just right down the road that I've never been to, and I bet you've never been to, but at the end of Bulls Mill Road, just right here in Beaverdale, at the end of the road, I've noticed a parking lot. I grew up on that road. I mean, my grandparents lived on that road. There's this little parking lot, and I pulled down in there the other day, and it's Dalton Utilities, our local utility. It's one of their reservoirs, and it's like a swamp, but there's a whole trail system back in there that I've still not been on it, but it's actually right beside where Lane and Christian are moving to. But yeah, it's one of those places that's been there for years. I pulled in, there was some guys on horses, and they were like, yeah, this is a great place to come. And
well, there's a good example.
Yeah. I mean, right 2 miles from me.
Yeah.
I've never been on it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So do a search in your area. Check it out. Our run of the week comes from Ashley Daly. She said, life has been a little tough lately, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to join everyone in the Redlands last weekend as expected, which made me even more grateful for a run this morning. Channeled my inner mountain goat at the Mesquite Canyon 30K today, which included a nice 2,500-foot climb over less than 2 miles up the Rocky White Tank Mountains. God blessed us with a high of 60 degrees, insanely cool for March here. The air was so clear from yesterday's rain. There were even some views of snow-capped mountains to the south. Jim Walmsley, an ultramarathon goat, was out on the course doing the 50K, and it was super inspiring to see him crushing it and not acting like us mere mortals were in his way. Super grateful for an all-around wonderful morning. So we had one that was running in snow, and one said 60 degrees was really cool.
Yeah.
What a difference.
But could see snow from there.
Yeah. Well, I looked this race up, this area. Man, this looks like one beautiful area to run.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. But 2,500 feet of climbing in a race?
That's intense.
Count me out.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I really have...
In less than 2 miles.
Yes. I mean, that's...
I'm trying to think of Fort Mountain...
Is 1,000.
It's 1,000 feet over 6 miles.
Yeah.
And I've ran up that, and that was bad enough.
Yeah. Hague Mill is about 1,000 feet over 1.5 miles. So...
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a lot steeper than Fort Mountain is.
Yeah.
And but this has to be twice as steep as that.
Yeah.
Roughly, you know. So, golly, that's just insane.
Hague Mill. Are you talking about the cross-country trail out there?
Did I say?
You said no, Hague Mill.
I meant Mount Zion. I don't know why I said Hague Mill.
Okay.
Mount Zion. Yeah,
okay.
Mount Zion.
Okay. I was thinking of where they... No.
What am I thinking?
Oh, my goodness.
You know where I'm talking
about. Dugout Mountain.
Yes.
Over in the,
yeah.
We're both going brain dead today.
That's crazy. Anyway, I really admire people that enjoy these hard races and these tough courses. Mm-hmm. I'm just not one of them. I guess I like to run faster. Mm-hmm. And so I like the flatter, faster race courses. And that's probably part of the reason, a good portion of the reason why I don't like trails. Is that you have to slow down.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan.
But. I guess that's why I've been drawn, you know, I've been doing the rucking and I'm really drawn to that because it's kind of got that grittiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to like the longer stuff, the kind of the slog. I actually kind of almost did it one more yesterday. Then I got to thinking, I better not do that. I was helping a friend do a controlled burn, Sage right down the road here. You know, you burn undergrowth, which is good for the vegetation. It's good for the trees, and it prevents forest fires. I mean, you do it the controlled way so it don't get out of control. Well, I had this bright idea when I was headed over there yesterday. I said, I need to take my rucksack and do the controlled burn with my rucksack. And then I thought, no, I better not do that. Because at one point yesterday, I kind of had to outrun the fire, and I thought, if I have a 40-pound pack on my back, that might not be a good idea.
Yeah. Good choice.
It sounded like a good idea. It really did.
I can see why it would. You know who Jim Walmsley is, right?
I don't think I do.
Jim Walmsley he's an interesting guy. He won MTMB a couple of years ago, which was, you know, it's probably the biggest ultra race in the world. He's the real deal. I mean, he is royalty.
Oh, this is the guy that was running out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like royalty in the ultra running world. So pretty cool. That Arizona heat though, man, for 60 degrees to be cool, must be warm there.
Yeah.
And you know, in the summertime when it's, you know, 110, 115 degrees, that's just crazy.
Yeah. But it's dry heat, Dean.
It's dry.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Just like an
still
oven.
115 degrees.
Yeah. Our trivia question from last week. So we had talked about indoor track in the Winter Olympics. Why don't we have indoor track at the Winter Olympics since it is a winter sport? Well, it turns out there's a very specific reason. And that reason is the Winter Olympic Charter says that a sport must take place on snow or ice to be a winter sport.
Never knew that.
I didn't either. But I thought that was really fascinating.
Makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, when I read that this morning, I started trying to prove it wrong.
I'm like, I know.
There's a sport that's not on ice.
Exactly what I
did. There's not.
Yeah. And if you think about it, basketball, gymnastics, swimming, they're all winter sports.
Yeah.
So
they're in the Summer Olympics.
Yeah. So if we were going to do things the season they have them, they have to realign all the sports.
Sure.
In order for that to happen. And I don't see that happen. And then the Winter Olympics would suddenly become bigger than the Summer Olympics then.
Mm-hmm.
but. So I think, though, instead of putting indoor track in the Olympics, in the Winter Olympics, here's what I suggest. I suggest we put cross country in the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. We could run it on snow. Mm-hmm. That would be cool. I would love, I mean, I've run some cross country races in the snow. It's lots of fun.
Event that has running and...
Well, they have cross-country skiing. You're talking about biathlon?
Yeah, biathlon.
Yeah, you have biathlon. That's true. Biathlon is in the in the Winter Olympics, yeah.
Because they wear the big snow shoes, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess they have cross-country skiing, so I guess that's very similar.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Cross-country seems like it would be fun to do in the snow. But yeah, that's the Winter Olympics and why... We can't have running in the Winter Olympics.
Learn something every week.
Yep.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
So this past week, I got several stories.
Yep.
So thank you for sending those stories in. Continue sending those in because we've got there's a couple of them that are interesting. We may use in a little bit different way than on this podcast.
Sure.
So so keep sending those stories in. We still need them. So here's an interesting guy. This comes from Canadian Trail Running Magazine. Ihor Varys. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but that's the way it looks. And he was named, in British Columbia, Canada, he was named Best of BC for the category of sports, which he is an ultra marathoner. And so how often do you see an ultra marathoner being named Best of all sports anywhere? We never see it anywhere. And so I thought that was really, really a cool thing and a big honor for him. He's beaten out all the hockey players. I mean, think about that. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. So anyway, this guy, turns out he's from Ukraine. He moved to Canada for college in 2015, and he just never left. And he lives in a place called Chilliwack. You got to like that.
Yeah.
I wish I lived in Chilliwack. Well, I don't wish I lived in Chilliwack, but I wish I lived in a place called Chilliwack. It just sounds fun to say. His most notable achievement was last year's Barkley Marathons. He was the winner. Mm-hmm. He's the only Canadian to ever finish the Barkley Marathons. So, and he's won a couple of other races called the Canadian Death Race and the Hawaii Hurt 100. There's kind of a pattern there that this guy likes those really tough races we were just talking about. But it's always good to see running in any form, whether it's ultra running or track running or cross country running or marathoning, whatever, to get some recognition outside of the, what we normally see in the Olympic years and things. I wonder if they ever thought about having ultra running in the Olympics.
I think they should.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be good. Well, after talking about running forever, meaning like ultras, let's talk about resting from running. It can be almost as important as the running itself. This one comes from Julie Dos Santos from Fort Pierce, Florida. And she writes this story called Rest. Alarm set. Check. Workout clothes laid out. Check. Water bottle in refrigerator. Check. iPhone charged and ready to go. Check. New running app. Check. I had the makings of a great run, ready to go. I did not count on being up four times with our new puppy. I did not count on insomnia and getting only a few hours sleep. So when my alarm clock went off at 5:15 a.m., I gave myself permission to turn it off and roll over for another hour of sleep. I don't enjoy not following through with plans that I have made, even the plans that involve only me, which no one else even knew about. I like the whole process of following through. I feel good when I do. I have learned through over the years, as I am sure you have learned, that things have a way of not always working out in the way in which you expected. Have you ever heard that old phrase, the best laid plans? My curiosity got the best of me, and I did a web search to find out exactly what the rest of that phrase is and where it came from. The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. It comes from a poem entitled The Mouse by Robert Burns. It means exactly what we all think it means. Plans change when you least expect them to. Even though my stubborn self was not thrilled with facing the fact that I would not be going for my morning run today, I understood that perhaps this was the way God wanted it to be. I obviously needed that extra hour of sleep. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." With the extra sleep, I was able to rise refreshed and spend quiet time reading my devotions and praising God for the gifts He has given me. A home, a warm bed, extra quilt my grandmother's best friend made for us, hot coffee, and endless opportunities to run another day. Fitness professionals agree that rest days are as important to schedule during your week, just as important as workouts. Hmm. Plans change. You're not a big fan of that, are you?
No.
You do adapt pretty well, though.
I do.
Do adapt to them. You'd rather plans follow. Yeah.
I'll push back.
Yeah.
But I will adapt.
Yeah. Rest days. Well, how important are rest days? I think this is an interesting question.
Yeah.
And this is why I say it. Because if you look at professional runners, they don't have rest days.
Well, they do.
They may take a rest day every few weeks.
But they have it is rest days. It just looks different.
It looks different. That's exactly right. Yep. Not only do they have their rest days look, they're running twice a day, probably mm-hmm. 5 or 6 days a week. So they're running maybe 12 times a week, a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
12 times. Yeah. 12 times a week, a lot of weeks. And so, but to your point, that rest a lot of times is just a nice, easy, casual stroll.
Yeah, I mean, rest is relative. I mean, it's, you know, I'm rucking and walking a lot now, and my rest days now are a 3 to 5 mile walk.
Yeah.
I just don't have the 40-pound pack on my back anymore. So some people would say that's not rest, but for me, it is rest.
That's right.
Running an easy 3 to 5 miles is rest for you.
Yep.
But for newbies, for people who are just starting this sport, that's not okay. Rest is sedentary in many cases. So it just all depends on the person.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to talk more about sleep in particular
in
the Dean's thoughts. But it's just different for everybody. So, but in this case, Julie felt like she needed that extra sleep. And she was right in this case. And so the interesting thing that I've always thought about rest is that God gave us the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And so many times we see in the Bible the things that God gives us, and we think, well, those are rules. Mm-hmm. And the Sabbath is a rule, right? We look at it as a rule. But the Sabbath is good for us.
Right.
We need rest physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. We really need that rest. And so it's not these rules that God gives us are good for us. It's not just that they're rules just so that we can follow some rules.
Right.
And I think it works out that way with a lot of things.
Sure.
Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Another form of rest is spiritual rest. We need that too, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage of our being tired. We've talked about this before, that a lot of times we can be in a meeting or something, and we're more tired from that than we are some physical activity.
Way more tired. And I don't know if this is, I don't know if, I have to think that it affects people differently. But I can sit in a 2 or 3 hour meeting. I'm done for the day. I mean, just write me off. Unless I go out and do something, some kind of physical activity. It's hard to wear me down physically.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm one of those. Oh, you say you're going to wear me out. Let's go. You know, it's, yeah. I like that challenge, but mental fatigue, I'm weak when it comes to the mental side. I really am. I am.
I wonder if it's different for different people. I guess it is.
Because there's some people that can sit in meetings and they're sharp as a tack for hours and hours on end. And I'm over there twiddling my thumbs and, you know, trying to figure out how to get out of the room. And they're just like engaged. Let's go another 2 hours. So I don't know if that's, you know, if they've trained themselves to be that way or just the, if it's like physical activity where you, that doesn't just happen overnight.
That's right.
I think we don't do long meetings enough. Maybe you did back in your corporate days, but I've just never done long meetings often.
Yeah.
You know, Lane come home the other day. He just started his new job and he had like 6 meetings in one day and he was just exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid can run 80 miles in a week, but one day of meetings and he's wiped out.
Yeah.
So I think that is something you have to.
I guess there's a mental, it's like a mental fitness
that
you get to be able to withstand that kind of thing. Yeah. Which is interesting. And I think Jesus here, in this case, he's talking about mental as much as he is physical or anything else. Mm-hmm. When he talks about all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, doesn't just mean from the physical stuff you got to do, but from all the worries and things that you have. He wants to give us rest from those things. You know, I thought about an example. When you share your worries, when you share your thoughts, your tiredness with God, it's almost like if you're out here and you were shoveling mulch and you were doing it, you were moving a wheelbarrow at a time. What happens if you're doing that by yourself versus two people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's half the work.
Sure.
Well, when you get God involved in your worries, it's actually less than half the help. But even if it was just half the help, you think about how much better that is.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he gives the illustration of his yoke is light. I mean, a yoke, we've talked about this on this podcast where it's an old farming term where a yoke is where you put two oxen together and, you know, they could pull equally. And the problem came when you would have one strong ox and one weak ox, you know, you would start, things wouldn't go straight. And I think that's what God and Jesus were showing us in that illustration is, you know, we're out here trying to do all this ourselves. But when we yoke to him, all of a sudden, where normally a yoke would be burdensome, it becomes light.
Yeah.
You know, the work is much less. We don't have to do this alone. But our nature is, I'm going to do this myself.
That's right.
So many times, especially with spiritual matters, that's not the way to go.
For sure. Exodus 33:14 says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest.
So I got bogged down right here. It's 2 weeks in a row I've gotten bogged down in some of these scriptures. And I kind of just giggled when I read this because, you know, we go back a little bit in Exodus. And this verse is after, you know, what Moses had seen with the plagues. This is after the pillar of cloud and fire. This is after the parting of the Red Sea. This is after the quail and manna. This is after water from a rock. And this is after the Ten Commandments. And Moses is saying basically, hey, God, I need some help here. You know, and this is how we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're Moses. We know everything that God has done. And to my defense a little bit, Moses saw it and he saw the Red Sea part.
Yeah.
I mean, he saw these miracles vividly right before him, and he's talking audibly to the God of the universe. So let's just start there. But we are still like Moses. He's saying, send somebody to help me lead these people. And if you continue on past verse 14, God spoke audibly and he said, I will go with you. I would like to think I would say,
okay,
deal.
Good.
Good. That's good with me. But not Moses. Okay, God, but how will others know that you're with me? And it's almost like, please, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's almost as if God dismissed that question. And he said, I will do the very thing that you asked, meaning I will go with you. And then what does Moses, again, I would, okay, God, but not Moses. He said, okay, prove it, God. Yeah. Show me your glory. And then God goes on to say, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. No one can see my glory and live. And it's almost, Moses didn't respond at that point, but it's almost, I can almost see him sitting there tapping his foot like, go on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we know the rest of the story. The Lord passed by him and Moses was able to see him from behind. And you think the audacity of Moses, and how can he have that posture with the God of the universe, knowing everything he knows? And I say things like, he parted the Red Sea, he did all this. But what we have that Moses doesn't have is the entire rest of the story.
We have
all of it.
Yep.
And we still take the posture of Moses many times. And it's, I think it's just for that reason, I think that's why this story is in Scripture, because we are like him. And it shows the humility, the grace. I'm going to stop short of saying the sense of humor of God, because it's, I mean, God can do whatever he wanted, but he was very gracious. Let's just leave it at that. He was very gracious to Moses. You know, there's not many other people of high authority in this world that you wouldn't have just got struck dead by questioning them. You know, I'm thinking of dictators and things like that. And that shows the character of God. Mm. That here a mere man is questioning you. You've showed him everything. You created the earth, and yet he passed by Moses. Okay, I'll show me. If you see my face, you'll die. I would be like, okay, that's enough said. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know, right?
I might accidentally, but I don't know. I love that story in Exodus for that reason, that after all those miracles, humongous miracles that we see in Exodus, and he still questions. And I think part of it, I'm not going to say that. I think we've got a lot to learn from what we read in this story.
For sure. And we all do. I mean, we all have our own miracles or things that happen in our lives where God is so evident, and then we're still questioning God next week.
And how many times do we chalk those miracles up to coincidence or chance or, you know, whatever?
Very true.
Yeah.
Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. This is a good scripture to illustrate the whole mental rest kind of thing, isn't it?
Because
this is David. And of course, David needed mental and physical rest.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not only he's on the run, he's physically worried about himself, but he's also mentally just torn apart. God's made promises to him, and yet he's on the run, and it's got to be tough from his standpoint. This is a good scripture for that.
Have you ever, when I think about this, when I read this verse, I think about, you know, we've all had those nights where something's on your mind and you can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
You can't go to sleep. And I have learned through the years, and again, just like Moses, I don't always default to this, But if you'll just start praying, laying there in bed, something's on your mind, start praying, God, just let me go to sleep, and praying about that thing, it's amazing how fast you'll fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that really, that's true.
Yeah.
I've done it myself multiple times.
Yeah.
But that's amazing how, you know, He is our rest. We mm-hmm. can rest in Him. And that is probably the best picture of that, is praying yourself to sleep. You can really do that.
Yeah, yeah. And it reminds me of the 23rd Psalm, mm-hmm. you know, where he says, when he talks about laying down in the pasture. Well, you don't lay down in the pasture unless your mind is at ease.
Especially a sheep.
Yes.
Which is the most skittish animal on earth.
Right. And that's who we're called. That's what we're called to be. Mm-hmm. We're called to calm our mind, and that's a great way to do it. Is to do that. I have done that when things are bothering me. When it's something that's bothering me, that's kind of that's what I'll do. But when my brain is just active, it just doesn't want to slow down. It's got all these things running through it. You know what I do to go to sleep? I picture myself running a race, and I'll fall asleep before the second mile.
Really?
Yep.
Now, sometimes I've just got to write things down.
Yeah.
And I'll get up and write things down and go right off to sleep. But
I'll do that if I wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll write down some notes and go back to sleep. Because I'll never remember. I don't remember any of my dreams. I don't know about you, but I don't remember any dreams. Like none.
Really?
Yes.
I remember some.
I remember none. Question. What part of your schedule could you give up in order to give yourself extra time for rest? Well, I've already done it. I gave up a couple of coaching jobs just for that reason. I needed to calm. I needed to be more calm. I needed to have time to rest and to relax and to let my brain think sometimes mm-hmm. rather than just moving on to the next thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time in my life, I think, where I really enjoyed the busyness of going from one thing to the next and not really having any time in between things to do. And mm-hmm. I really thrived on it. I enjoyed it. That day is gone.
Right.
Maybe it's just because I'm getting older and wiser. I don't know. But
yeah.
Or I hope I'm getting wiser. But here's my question, because I think this happens a lot in these busyness issues. Are people as busy as they say they are? Because it's been my experience that the people who talk about how busy they are aren't nearly as busy as a lot of the people who never talk about how busy they are. Isn't that true?
It's kind of that way with a lot of things.
It is that way.
I think there's three types. I gave this some thought earlier. I think there's people who are busy, truly are busy, and they wear it as a badge of honor, almost as a status. I'm thinking of one particular person in my life. They're constantly talking about how busy they are, and they are.
Yeah.
They are. But at the same time, I can see it damaging this person.
Yeah.
I really can. They're running themselves in the ground. Then they're people who aren't busy and say they are, your point.
Yep.
They want that status symbol, but it's kind of an imposter syndrome that you're not doing a lot.
Yeah.
But then there are people who are busy but shouldn't be, aka disorganized. They're just not efficient.
That's a good point.
One thing that I kind of wear as a badge of honor is, I mean, I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can get a lot done to give myself time. Because yeah. I don't thrive in being wall to wall every day. But I feel like for whatever reason, God's given us all gifts. He's given me the gift of getting... I start it and I'm going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is stubbornness. Some of that is whatever you said earlier that, you know, change. Yeah. If I start something, I'm not looking up
yeah.
until it's done.
Yeah.
Maybe I would say that's focus.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some others would
call
it.
That is focused. That's a good quality to have.
But I think there's those three types
I agree with you.
People. People who are busy and they wear it as a badge of honor. People who aren't busy and say they are. And people who are busy, but they shouldn't be, also known as disorganized.
Yeah, that's very true. I've seen that a lot of people. A lot of people who talk about being busy, they may not say it. But a lot of the people you're talking about who say they're busy, but they're not that busy, are the people who a lot of times are disorganized. That's why they're so busy. It's funny to me.
Well, no, I say no.
You're distinguishing.
I'm distinguishing. There's people who are busy but shouldn't be, also known as disorganized. They're doing things.
Yeah.
They're busy.
They're just not accomplishing things.
But gosh, that what you're doing in 7 hours, you should be able to do that in 1 hour. But then there's the people who aren't busy and they say they are. You see them on their phone for 4 hours a day.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I'm just worn out. I'm busy. Well, you've been on your phone all day. You know, put it down and you'll get more done.
I was just... We're going through a Bible study, and the person I'm not gonna name who the person is that's doing the Bible study, but I have a hard time listening to this person because I feel like that person takes 5 minutes worth of material and blows it up into 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that drives me absolutely bonkers.
Distill that down, please.
Yes. Yes. You could say that in way less words. So anyway, I don't want to complain about Bible study. I still get a lot out of it, but it's hard to sit through. Are there busier times in your life where you know you need extra rest? Yeah. You know, from a running standpoint, it works that way. The more running I do, the more rest. I need more rest right now. I've gotten back into doing some workouts, and I've done several workouts in the last couple of weeks. In between that, I ran a 20 miler. And so my body is tired. My body needs extra rest right now. And it's telling me that. And if I listen to it, then I'll get some extra sleep and I'll get more rest. And I think there's just times in your life, not just from a running standpoint, but that works with everything in your life. When you get really busy, there's a lot of times where you need the time to reflect, the time to sit back and think sometimes. You talk about you got to find time to do nothing. Well, that's part of the reason why you got to get your brain disengaged occasionally.
Sure.
If you don't, you got to do it. That could take a lot of different forms, how you disengage. I'll find some TV show that I just kind of get hooked on and start binge watching. And, you know, that's my escape. I don't have to think a whole lot. I can just watch that. I think that's a good way to do it. And there's lots of other ways.
I think a neat tool that has really gotten better over the past several years, you know, I got this new watch and I'm convinced it can land somebody on the moon. But one thing is I've never really worn a watch. I would wear a watch for running and I would take it off. But these watches have so many things nowadays that will benefit you if you wear it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I committed, I'm going to wear this thing for a month. The only time it's off my arm is when I'm in the shower and it's charging. And then I put it right back on. And the one thing that this watch really shines, one way it really shines is it the whole sleep part of it.
Yeah.
And again, you know me with technology, I don't use it to prescribe, I use it to look back.
Yeah.
And it's eerie how accurate it is with the sleep, because what it does is it will tell you how much sleep you need for that night.
Yeah.
Based on the past 7 days of activity, based on the past 24 hours. And it's amazing how accurate it is.
Yeah.
Because like yesterday, I did a lot of physical activity yesterday, and I was completely zapped last night. And it told me that I needed more sleep than it had the past 6 nights. So I don't know how it does it with the algorithms and your heart rate and all that stuff, but that's been a pretty neat, and I've kept it. It don't even bother me now.
Yeah.
I'm wearing it, so I wear it all the time now. But do you use technology in any way like that?
I do.
Yeah.
I track my sleep. The weird part is when I changed watches recently, and this one measures my sleep completely differently. I know my sleep did not change overnight when I got a new watch.
So do you have the body battery?
I don't pay attention to that. I think it's on there. I don't pay attention.
It's amazing how if it says your body battery is 65% right now, I'm like, yeah, that's
accurate. I use training readiness. I have training readiness, which is very similar.
Yeah.
Tells me how ready my body is to get out there and run.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, so a few nights ago, I had this down in my notes for my story. I slept all night, probably for the first time since I bought this watch. I normally wake up at least once or twice during the night, and I slept all night.
Yeah.
And my watch told me I was up for 47 minutes.
And maybe so, you were, and you just didn't know it.
Well, that's a sudden occurrence. That didn't used to be the case with my other watch.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, this watch thinks I'm awake more than I really am.
Well, I keep trying to think to tell Holly, because sometimes if I get less sleep than I need and had a bad day, or not a bad day, active day, if my body battery is too low in the morning, it said your sleep was not at peak performance. You might be irritable today.
Oh.
And I want to go to Holly and say, look, if I get irritable, my watch said it was going to be like this.
I got an excuse.
But it is amazing how far the technology has come nowadays.
Yeah.
It's almost scary.
Well, here's one of the things I wanted to bring up about this whole idea of resting, because I hear from so many people, I don't have time to rest.
Yeah,
let me tell you about Don Livingston. So Don Livingston was a roommate that I had when I was in college. Don Livingston graduated in the same amount of time it took me to get a degree, an undergraduate degree in management. He graduated with a chemical engineering and an MBA degree in the exact same number of quarters. He did it with a 3.9 grade point average. He was a resident assistant in the dorm. Mm. He ran on the track and cross country season teams. He was a tutor, and he got 8 hours of sleep every single night.
Mm. He was very efficient.
He was extremely efficient. He went to bed at 10 o'clock every night. He woke up at 6 a.m. every morning, every single day of the week, 7 days a week. And I just hear people, they talk about how busy they are and they don't have time. If this guy who crammed 5 years of school, who crammed 6 years of school into 5 years, and then did all this other stuff in addition. I mean, being a runner, a college runner, you got to get up in the morning and run before any classes or anything. And then you run again in the evening. You do some kind of track workout or something. And you're running twice a day, most days. And it's busy just with that, if that's all you did. But then being a resident assistant, anyway, you get the point. The guy was super busy, and he found a way to get 8 hours of sleep. So when somebody tells me I don't have time to get sleep, it's not that you don't have time.
Prioritize.
It's back to what you talked about. It's back to being organized.
If it's Netflix and Facebook, you're sidebar. I was listening to a podcast. I forget which podcast it was. Maybe you heard it. I can't remember which one it was. But I didn't know that there is a because we've talked about how physical activity makes you better in everything else that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there is an index fund out there? It's a mutual fund, but it's an index. And the index is, I think it's the top 100 companies who the CEO does physical activity on a daily basis.
Really?
And the index fund outperforms all the other index, like the S&P and, you know, the Dow and all those. It's consistently through the years outperformed all other indexes. But it's showing the correlation of physical activity, doing hard things, getting your heart rate up, makes you better in everything else that you do.
That's
I don't know, sidebar there. I just thought that was interesting.
I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Have you ever heard about that?
I haven't.
I need to find it and send it to you.
For sure. Last question. What gives you rest?
As weird as it sounds, and we've been talking about it, any kind of manual labor outside. And it's because it causes you to rest better. So walking, running, rucking. I said, told you I've done controlled burning the past 2 days. I mean, that's walking miles and miles and miles with a 25-pound container, and less screen time. The more I'm on a screen, the worse I sleep.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm thinking about how do I rest from running? Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's days where my body's really tired right now, and I need some rest. Well, how do I do that? Well, my rest day is what I call my no-watch days. Those are days where I turn my watch off, mm-hmm. and I don't pay it. I just run for an hour or whatever, however long I'm going to run. And I don't pay attention to how far I go.
Yeah.
And that's a good rest.
Yeah.
It's because I'm not trying to force myself to do anything. I'm just
going to disengaging the brain. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes a big difference. Hobbies are usually a good way to, if you got a good hobby, mm-hmm. that's always a good way to rest to me, whatever that hobby is. Because it calms your body down.
Hey, another sidebar. This may have been the same podcast. They were talking about the benefits of doing activities outside, but they were talking about how much more beneficial it is when you don't wear sunglasses. Have you ever heard this?
No.
That your eyes absorb much more, is it vitamin D?
Really?
Then maybe not more, but proportionately your eyes, I mean, it makes sense to me, but if you're wearing sunglasses, you're drastically reducing the amount of vitamin D that you get.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either.
Huh.
I'm trying to remember who this guy was. It was on this podcast. I have to find it.
And I wear sunglasses.
But I haven't researched that, so don't.
Yeah.
Don't say Mitchell quoted this.
Yeah.
I am quoting it, but I haven't researched it. But it makes sense.
But go out there and check it out.
And, well, I've been doing that when I go outside now.
Yeah.
Because I have to. I say that. I'm one of those that always says, I have to have sunglasses.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how quick your eyes adjust when you go outside.
Yeah, I bet. I used to not be able to wear sunglasses because I had to wear regular glasses. So I never wore sunglasses for years. I mean, all those miles I ran when I was young, I did it with a regular pair of glasses on and no sunglasses.
Yeah.
So I know you can get used to it, but now I've got sunglasses on all the time.
Yeah. Sorry, Dean. I'm chasing a lot of rabbits today.
It's all good.
Do you need something to keep you motivated to keep fit both physically and spiritually? Upward Running has what you need to keep you on track for both. Check out upwardrunning.com and join us for pennies a day. I promise you, you will not regret it.
All right, so by the time this comes out, hopefully our app is updated again, right? And,
yeah, I think it's going to be the new release is coming out next week. So probably here for the foreseeable future, every update that we push out is going to have some pretty substantial changes, and substantial in a very good way.
Yeah,
It's because we're doing all the big things right now. So one of the things that we just started last week on working on, it's going to be a little while before it's out, but it's the prompted workouts that everybody's been wanting, especially the 5K challenge specifically, where it's going to be us walking and running you through those workouts. So you'll basically, you can have your music playing, but you know, it's probably going to be me interrupts your music. And I'm using a lot of the terminology that I've used in the past in coaching, but you know, keeping you motivated to keep going.
Little encouragement.
Yeah. But we'll tell you when to walk, when to run, all that kind of stuff. Is there like a deer over my shoulder
or
something?
Yes, there is. Sorry. there's a deer outside if you're not watching. I had a hard time keeping my eyes off of the deer.
So Dean and I do the podcast here out in the middle of the sticks, in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And so it's there's wildlife all around here. So if there's, maybe say big turkeys and deer and foxes. And
very good. Well, we shared a story a couple of weeks ago from Scott Kaufman, and at the time he was on his way to running a half marathon. Well, I'm going to, on the video portion of this podcast, I'm going to show this picture of him after he got through with that very half marathon this past weekend. So you can find that if you're listening to this podcast, you don't know there's a video podcast, there is. You go to Upward Running YouTube channel and you can find it. You can subscribe to that page. Anyway, he's back to running these half marathons after donating a kidney to a church member. If you didn't get a chance to hear that story, we talked about it on episode 259 just a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, he sent me this article from Runner's World about donating blood that I thought I would share. If you remember, I asked the question about whether or not it was good for us to donate blood. You know, the whole idea of, is the regeneration of red blood cells a good thing? And he sent this, and it says, it's important to know that everyone responds to blood donation differently. Some of us can give quite regularly, every 2 to 3 months, without issues, while others struggle to donate once per year. This is largely due to our overall wellness, body size, gender, and age, among other variables. For instance, if a small-framed runner who is mildly anemic, as many female endurance runners can be, donates a pint of whole blood during a demanding training season, it could create a plethora of negative health issues related to low iron and slow response times in recovery. This is also true for those who may have micronutrient deficiencies, autoimmune deficiencies, high or low blood pressure, and more. On the opposite end, a large-framed, healthy male could donate regularly and recover without much downtime at all. The common side effect as it relates to your running include higher heart and breathing rates, heavy legs, and lower levels of energy. Ultimately, this means slower running paces at higher effort levels. So it goes through and it talks about these different ways that you can donate blood. I guess I never really paid much attention to the fact there's 4 different ways you can donate blood. And some of those are a lot easier on your body than others. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe that's something that you can look into if you have some difficulty. But then it says, it gives some guidelines for when and how you should do your blood donating. And it talks about doing it in the off season or doing it at a time when your training schedule will allow you to take an extra couple of days either off or nice and easy. Mm-hmm. It also talks about how you need to train by effort. If you do give blood, train by effort. Don't train by, you know, if you normally run 10-minute pace. You might want to run 11-minute pace after you've donated blood because it's going to take something from you. It says, in the event you struggle with anemia, micronutrient deficiencies like B vitamins, folate, zinc, etc., autoimmune disorders like adrenal stress, hypothyroid, etc., or any health issue that drains you, talk with your doctor about whether donating a healthy option is for you. If whole blood or red cell donation is out, perhaps plasma is a viable option for you. If that doesn't work, perhaps volunteering or promoting the importance of blood donation in your community. There is always a way we can chip in and help the cause. I just wanted to bring that up because he thought it was donating blood, it can be a life-saving and important thing to do. So I thought it would be good just to kind of...
The way you kind of explain that, it almost feels like the effects from donating blood would be very similar to the effects of trying to train at altitude.
Yeah.
And I guess it's probably makes sense because your blood is the carrier of oxygen, right? So if you take a pint of it out, there's less oxygen going through your blood, at least immediately after. So it's interesting. Yeah. Hey, one more sidebar, Dean. I did a quick Google search because I honestly have not looked up the whole vitamin D. Yeah. Well, if you do a quick Google search of vitamin D through the eyes, it says the eyes do not absorb vitamin D. So I've got to find this podcast.
I need to figure that out because it was a reputable,
I don't remember which platform it was or who it was, but they had this guest on and he was talking about that. So don't throw rocks at me.
Yeah.
I just did a quick research project on the Google, and it said that vitamin D is not absorbed through the eyes. But I did hear that, so.
All right. Well, it's a time for Dean's thoughts, and that's a time when I share something that I've written about the intersection between running and faith. Well, this story goes along with the main story for today. I have to admit that I did it purposefully this time. This one's called Recharging the Batteries.
I was going to say, that's eerie if it was just a coincidence this time.
Yeah, it just happened. I wrote this story, and then I picked out that story to go with the other story to go with it.
So you didn't write it as a result of the other story.
No,
you
just other way around. Yeah. Every night, just before going to sleep, I place my phone on a charger to make sure I have plenty of juice for the next day. I'm using a laptop computer to write this story. I can spend hours working just about anywhere I want, whether there is electricity to plug into or not. But each night, I leave it plugged up so that I have plenty of juice for the next day. I also usually plug up my headphones every night to make sure they have plenty of juice for the next day. What would happen if I did not recharge those things each night? It might be fine. I may be able to use them as long as I need them the next day too. Or, more likely, I will have to stop at some point during the day to recharge them. If I don't, the penalty is that I don't have the use of the thing I need. The parallel here is obvious, isn't it? Not only do we need to recharge our electronics to be ready for the day, but we also need to recharge our bodies. The difference is that we don't have to plug our bodies in to recharge them. We just have to sleep, or we don't have full use of the thing we need. When my phone needs to be recharged, it tells me I get a warning that I only have 10% battery life left, or I won't be able to use it anymore. I keep a watch on the battery indicator at the top of my computer so I know how much juice I have left. And even though I don't have to recharge my watch every day, I keep an eye on the battery indicator so that I can charge it when it gets low. If we don't watch those battery indicators, we could be in for a surprise when the juice is gone and when we need it. So why don't we do the same thing with our body? Why do we keep pushing our body to the point it was never meant to go? If we only had a battery indicator on our body, we could monitor our energy level and recharge it at the right time. There's only one problem with that premise. It's false. In fact, we do have battery indicators. We just don't heed their warnings. Oh, we monitor them. We just ignore them. Did you know that if you lose enough sleep, your body responds the same as someone who is drunk? In fact, being awake 17 consecutive hours leads to cognitive impairment equal to a blood alcohol content of 0.05%. For 24 hours, it's 0.10%, which is a level that would result in a citation in every state in the country if stopped while behind the wheel of a car. The truth is that our body has plenty of battery indicators. We just usually ignore them. Here are just some of the indicators according to various studies. The aforementioned cognitive impairment, constant fatigue, difficulty waking up, mood changes, increased appetite, weight gain, skin issues, weakened immune system, impaired motor skills, and those moments when you're involuntarily falling asleep during the day. Anytime your body is not working properly in any way could be a sign that your batteries are low. So stop ignoring the indicators and get serious about high-quality sleep. And don't forget to add in the day's activities to your sleep requirement calculation. If I spend time in an area where there's a weak cell phone signal and use my phone for any length of time, sometimes I have to charge it during the day because the circumstances drains the battery more quickly. And if you're running more miles or running them more intensely than normal, you may need an extra few minutes of recharge time in the form of sleep. We also have a spiritual battery that needs recharging regularly. I like to recharge my spiritual batteries like I do my phone every night. There may be some nights I don't need to recharge my phone, but I top it off anyway so that I can always start my day with the most energy possible. In the same way, I don't know that I need to top my spiritual batteries off every day, but I do just in case I need a full charge tomorrow. And sometimes I will even get in an extra charge when I'm spending some time in those poor spiritual signal zones, if you know what I'm talking about. Years ago, you couldn't charge batteries that were not reasonably depleted because the battery would build up a memory and you could shorten the life of a battery. But today's batteries are not like that. You can charge your phone as often as you like, and it will be just fine. Your spiritual batteries have always worked that way. So don't worry about overcharging either your phone or your spiritual batteries. There is no such thing as too much.
Man, that's a great story, Dean. So practical.
Yeah, yeah.
And so simple, yet so complex.
I know. That's, yeah, yeah. Remember the days of the battery memory?
I do.
You had to make sure you let it run down far enough.
You couldn't just leave something on charge. It would be bad for it.
Yeah. It was. And then we had this. We had the point where if you did that and you messed up your battery, then you could reset your battery. And there was a whole process to go through to reset your battery. And now batteries are just, you just charge them whenever.
Yeah.
And they're fine. And that helps a lot. I think battery technology actually is going to be the partial answer to energy in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like every day I hear some story about new battery technology that potentially they're studying how to, and you know, well, you look at batteries from now, I mean, think about a laptop computer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think about 10 years ago, a laptop battery.
A couple hours max.
Well, and it was big and it was huge and bulky.
Your laptop weighed 20 pounds.
Yeah. Now it's so much smaller and it lasts four times as long.
Yeah.
And battery technology just keeps getting better and better. And I think that's going to be the answer to a lot of problems in the future. You already mentioned the sleep indicators on watches. There's no reason not to at least track your sleep these days. There's too many ways to do that. There are some devices that actually track your rest specifically as well. So that may be a good way for you to figure out whether or not you're getting enough sleep. Because here's the thing. I mentioned that my watch wasn't accurate on my sleep, but you know what it is accurate to? It's accurate to last week. So I know whether my sleep is getting better or worse.
Right.
So I know how I feel based on the amount of sleep I got last week, and I know whether I should get more or less this week. And that's always a good way to think about it.
So have you ever used, I know Lane used it a lot, and I honestly don't know what it did. The Whoop, you're seeing that's becoming more and more popular. You're seeing a lot more people use that. But that, from what I understand, that is primarily what it tracks.
Yes.
is rest and sleep, and that's the main thing, is to make sure you're getting that body battery charged. But I don't know if you'd ever dealt with them or not.
I haven't, but it seems to me that these watches do basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It may not be the exact same measurement, but it's pretty close.
Right. And so. Lane actually got his, by the way, Lane's wedding was this past weekend.
That's right.
Went great. Went off. I mean, they're actually on their honeymoon right now. But his wedding ring is one of those Aura rings. So it kind of does the same thing as the Whoop. So I don't know if you've ever had one of those or not.
I've never had one of those either, but it's a mood ring, basically.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I've got a buddy that you mentioned that he wears the... the blood sugar indicator. He's diabetic.
Yeah.
And so he wears the blood sugar indicator, and he calls it his mood meter because his blood sugar starts dropping, he starts getting very irritable.
My father's diabetic. I understand that. Well, I think sleep is the most underrated variable of health, period, bar none. I really honestly believe that sleep is more important than the food we eat. Obviously, you have to have both, but I think getting adequate and good quality sleep is every bit as important as putting the right food in your body. What do you think about that? You think that's overstating it?
No, I think you're spot on. What I wonder is, maybe we need a sleep specialist on this podcast. What I wonder is, you know, you hear about people who they don't require much sleep. You hear this about President Trump, that he sleeps 3-4 hours a night, and that's all he requires. My question is that true? Or is he only able to sleep 3-4 hours and he's adapted over time, and maybe it's some kind of insomnia? You hear this about a lot of people.
Yeah.
That they just don't sleep much. Einstein, you always heard that didn't sleep much. But is it true that would they benefit from 7 or 8 hours of sleep? Or is their body just wired in a way that they don't require much sleep? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either. And that's a good question. I've had that question for years. I wonder that as well. I think people have different requirements. I think people, and just like I think there was a big to-do this past week about Hobbs Kessler, who was advocating for people eating Rice Krispie treats and fruit roll-ups. And somebody was just, they were coming unglued about it. And it's like, the guy came really close to winning an Olympic medal. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
Let's leave him alone. But people get, I just think there's people that can do that
right.
and have no effect on them, and people that can't do that because sure. it will affect them. And I think sleep is the same.
They're the exception, not the rule.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it works. But I think for most people, we need good quality and quantity sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we often only focus on one or the other.
Right.
And the interesting thing, I hadn't thought about this until I wrote this, and I was sitting just thinking about it, and I thought, the most important part of your sleep is the first part of your sleep. It's like right. the first 4 hours. If you look at the deep sleep that sure. you get, it's always in the first half of your right. sleep. And so I can see why quality to me probably seems more important now than quantity.
Yeah.
Because of that.
I'm thinking this through right now. It kind of makes you wonder, because like there's, you hear the people, you know, you'll be at a dinner party and they're drinking coffee and like, oh, it doesn't bother me. And I always wonder, is it kind of like you and Diet Cokes years ago? You were like, oh, they don't. I run a 237 marathon. Diet Cokes don't bother me. But I think looking back now, you may say, mm-mm. correct me if I'm wrong, mm-mm. you're not going to say this.
Mm-mm. I don't think Diet Coke had any effect on me at all.
Diet Coke and Crystal didn't have any effect on you.
And Crystal's different than Diet Coke. I'll say that Crystal did. I won't say Diet Coke did.
So let's because we're not going to debate that right now.
Yeah.
Let's just say, things that are the exception, some people say, oh, it doesn't bother me. Well, is it because that exception, they've just gotten used to it, like people drinking coffee? Is their sleep, it's been so jacked up for so long, they think that that's normal sleep? When if they would just try some of these principles, would they experience better sleep and realize the error of their ways looking back? Because I just, it's hard for me to fathom that coffee doesn't affect people's sleep. It's a stimulant. It's caffeine. It has to do something to your sleep. Drinking coffee. I mean, I got an uncle that he'll drink it at 10 o'clock at night, right before he goes to bed.
Yeah. You would think that it would not be good for you.
But maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, some people say that eating food within 3 or 4 hours of sleeping.
Well, now that's one thing I have noticed. Since I've been wearing this watch, I have noticed if I eat past 7 o'clock, my sleep score is not much lower, but it's significantly lower than if I don't eat past 7 o'clock. And so I've started to see, it's kind of like, would President Trump, if he in fact only sleeps 3 or 4 hours, if he were able to sleep 8, would he be able to do more?
Yeah.
That's my only question.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question. And I don't know. I don't think we don't have the answer for it. But go back to what you were talking about the Diet Coke. You know, I'm big on, I want to try something. You just mentioned trying the watch thing for 30 days. Mm-hmm. That's how I evaluate mm-hmm. things, whether things make a difference or not, is I do it for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for example, when I changed to a plant-based diet, I said, I'm going to do this for 30 days very, very strictly, and I'm going to see if there's a difference. Clearly, clearly there was a difference. I could feel the difference. When I stopped drinking Diet Coke, I felt nothing, zero change
really?
To my body, to my feeling, to my sleep, to anything. And so I know for a lot of people out there like, that's crazy. That's ridiculous to say. I'm sorry. I'm just saying objectively for myself, and I'm not saying that's the way it is for everybody.
Yeah.
But I know for me, whether I drink Diet Coke or not, I don't think makes any difference for me. And again, I'm sure there's somebody out there going, blasphemy.
but no, I think you're objective in that way. I think you would, just like you did with the crystals, there was a difference.
Yes.
There. I didn't want to, or maybe you didn't even know back then, because that's all you'd ever done.
I didn't know.
It wasn't until you tried something different that you realized, oh yeah.
But if I go back and eat those now,
that might have been a 229 marathon.
Maybe. If I go back and eat those now, I can tell, right? But if I go back and drink Diet Coke now, I can't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Have you always wanted to read through the entire Bible but never found the time to do it? Well, let me do it for you. Sign up for the self-paced Bible in a Year challenge and start listening today. Every day, I read a few chapters from the Bible and give you helpful tips and encouraging quotes. You must be an Upward Running member for access to this exciting challenge. So if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for? Every week, I share a reason why running and or walking are so awesome. Well, this week, we're going to talk about why walking is so good this week. Mm. Walking is a great low-intensity activity for your joints. You know, I hear a lot of people tell me that they have bad knees, so they can't run. But what most people with bad knees can do is a lot of them can still walk. And
it's not the running that caused the bad knees.
That is correct. That is correct. But if you have bad knees, I can see why running would be tough for you. So, but walking is a great – walking will make your knees better because what it does is it creates this synovial fluid flow in your joints that have a healing effect and a cushioning effect on your joints. It's good for you to get out there and be active. And I know people with bad knees are like, no, it hurts.
You got to push through that.
If you'll get through it, it'll be better for you.
It's walking and a little pain in the knees is better than diabetes.
That's for sure.
I mean, you got to look. We always say this and this is bad, but what's the alternative? You got to look at that side of it too.
That's right. Well, we have a new phenom in New Zealand now. Guy's name is Sam Ruth. He's 15 years old from Tauranga, New Zealand, making headlines in athletics world in his impressive performances. He recently broke Jakob Ingebrigtsen's world age 15 record in the 1500 meters with a time of 3:41. Man, this kid is flying. The youngest person to ever break the 4-minute barrier was Jakob Ingebrigtsen, who did it at 16 years, 250 days. This guy is trying to do it before he turns 16. He's going to try it this month. Matter of fact, he may have already tried it before this comes out. But he has already run 4:01. So he's going to give it a shot and try to break 4 minutes as a 15-year-old. That's nuts.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's got his mother, father were both very, very good runners. His grandparents. All of these people, that they kind of expected this kid to be a good runner. And sure enough, he's come through. Nick Willis, who, if you don't know Nick Willis is, he holds the record for the most consecutive years for sub 4-minute miles for 20. He did it for 20 years in a row. He was in 5 Olympics. He's got 2 Olympic medals. Probably the most famous runner. Well, one of the most famous runners from New Zealand. Certainly the most famous in the last 50 years. But Nick Willis has lots of praise for this kid and talks about how good he is. And he says, this kid's better than I was. Wow. And that says a lot because Nick Willis is the man. So there's a lot of young guys right now, in particular at this distance, this 1500 meter mile distance, not because Jakob's still young. The guys in the United States, they're still young. Mm-hmm. Niels Laros from the Netherlands is young. Cameron Myers from Australia is young. There's so many young guys coming up. What do you think that is? You think it's just coincidence they're all coming up at the same time, or do you think this has something to do with?
I don't. A contagion? I think we've kind of talked about this. I think it's kind of that, but I think it's also just the idea that these kids probably started regimented running at 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they're having as much, I mean, because training in some aspects is cumulative, right? It's how many miles. You've run over 100,000 miles. You can do things that most people can't do simply because, well, these kids have as many miles on their legs at 14, 15 years old as most people of past professional performances had by the time they were 30.
Yeah, you know what the good evidence of that is?
What's that?
It's Jim Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Ryan ran a lot more miles than most kids did when he was a kid. And look who he was. He was the, I still think, the best runner of all time.
Well, it's, you know, I'm listening to The Tipping Point again. And Malcolm Gladwell talks about this.
The 10,000-hour rule?
The 10,000-hour rule. The reason, you know, there's what we call geniuses in the Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates and all them was that they were able to get coding time under their belt at such a young age that they look like these young phenoms. But if you really break it down into the 10,000-hour rule, it's to be expected.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Well, our trivia question for this week is a nice, simple one. And it's this one. Who was the winner of the first Olympic marathon in 1896? That was the first Olympic marathon. Do you know who that was?
I probably know that, but I don't.
You probably should.
Well, I'd recognize the name.
I don't know. I don't know if you would.
Probably
or
not then.
And if you know the answer to that question, or if you Googled it, or Perplexied it, you know, I don't use Google anymore. I use Perplexity now.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's called Perplexity.
What is that? It's like a search engine?
Yeah. Well, it's an AI search engine and does a way better job than Google does. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, if you're out there and you got a question, ask Perplexity.
I'm still so torn on that whole AI.
Yeah.
It seems like 80% of the stuff you see on social media now is AI generated. Yeah, it's not real.
It's true.
It's crazy.
Well, if you know the answer to that question, send it to dean@upward.org. Be the first one to get it to me and be a member, and you will win $20 off in the store. Our motivational thought of the week comes from that famous person named Unknown. says, running won't solve all your problems, but neither will housework.
I love that one. Hey, Dean, don't forget, January 24th, 25th, everybody get it on your calendars.
2026.
That is the Big Beach Marathon in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and the Run Club Banquet will be the evening of January 24th, 2026. So get it on your calendar. We want to see you there. We want to meet everybody listening.
I'm taking it one step further. We expect to see you there.
Absolutely. Yep.
And if you haven't already, subscribe and listen to this podcast every week. You can get it on your favorite podcast platform. You can get it in video form at the Upward Running YouTube page. You can subscribe to that page, too, and click that little bell where it'll let you know when these things are coming out. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast however you receive it.
Sure.
It'll help us grow.
Yeah.
And until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.